Welcome to episode 16 of the Variable Podcast. This is your host, John Bragel, and this week we have a very special guest, cinematographer Jared Levy, who has been a very good friend of mine for, I want to say, maybe 12 or 13 years now. And this week we're going to do a bit of a different format in that this is just a one-on-one conversation between Jared and I, where we just delve in deep into this topic of becoming jaded as a filmmaker. Traditionally, our conversations with guests are recorded live in the Variable community in front of a live audience of members, and those have been really great. They have been the bulk of, I think, everything that you all have heard so far has been recorded in live events. But this one, Jared and I, him being a very close friend, he also runs the meetup in New York City that has been going on for, I think, well over a year and a half now. We just figured, again, it'd be a fun exercise to see what comes out of this type of discourse, and hopefully there are some insights in here that could be useful, or maybe you resonate, or maybe you don't and you just think we're crazy. Regardless, whatever the case is, we had a lot of fun having this conversation, and if you're into anything that comes out in this conversation, consider checking out the Variable community at wearevariable.com. And also, if you live in the New York City area, be a great opportunity to connect with Jared at one of the monthly in-person Variable meetups that he hosts. And you can RSVP to those in our Instagram. If you just check a couple times a month, we post them monthly about midway through the month. So come by, say hey to Jared. If you're in LA, there are monthly meetups there as well. And either way, if you like anything in the podcast, just say hey. We always like connecting with people. And that's about it. I'll switch over to the conversation between Jared and I in just a few seconds. Enjoy.
How did we get here? You know, I've been thinking back on a few things. Like, one, I think the conversations that you and I have had over the years on, like, phone calls, and I think at various stages of our career, and there's a lot of, like, reflection in these phone calls and talking about where we're at and where we're going. And I think that it kind of brought, in thinking about that, it made me think about, like, the idea of becoming jaded as a filmmaker, and that it's not something that I don't think happens, like, once and then you're, like, in your jaded phase or something silly like that. I think that you can become jaded to the level that you're at, or like the circumstances that you are finding yourself in too much that you want to break out from. And I think that we are in, like, a constant inspired and motivated and content cycle, that then the same things that were making us feel that way, if we're doing it too much, then we kind of run into becoming jaded by the very things that were inspiring us maybe 6 to 12 months ago, or however long that period may be. And then it's kind of like figuring out ways how to break out of it again. And sometimes that ability is totally on you and something like within your control. And other times there are, like, you know, you might find yourself in a situation of there are gatekeepers or people have to hire you that, like, you know, these things are not exactly within your control alone. And how do you deal with that and stuff like that? So that's kind of like how I've been thinking about, knowing that this was our topic, and, how to wrap my head around talking about it. Like, the first thing was just what it is to me, really, and how it's kind of like this thing that comes and goes throughout our careers, is something that, how I've been thinking about it.
Have you ever been jaded?
Definitely. Maybe we should even define what that means.
That's a very good question. I think I know how it feels. But I don't necessarily know what it means. How would you try and describe that?
I think it's definitely a layered, complex feeling. For me, I think it's when you get tired of the opportunities that lie before you. Like, you're not excited by things that are readily available for you to do career-wise. You get annoyed by the littlest aspects of it, because in the past you might have been able to look past that stuff because there were elements of it that were exciting enough, that the difficult things, the parts that weren't necessarily easy now kind of annoy you more than they should. I think that like jadedness is a certain level of frustration and annoyance, and not feeling like whatever this thing might be is equal to what you feel you deserve. Whether or not that's being accurate or being egotistical is a different discussion, but that's kind of, I think, what it is internally.
Wow. I think that's really well said. I was thinking a lot about this feeling, like you mentioned, of thinking that you're better than everything that you're doing. And mm-hmm. so you kind of look down on the projects that you're on with this constant gaze of, oh, this is so beneath me. You know, this Coca-Cola commercial, this is so lame. And you just struggle to find anything positive about it.
Well, it's like everything, like those things are objectively true.
Right.
In terms of being surrounded by really talented people, probably making a good day rate. But subjectively, is it good for you is a different question.
Is it good for you in terms of
your mental health, your where you want to be going in your career, your personal life, and if it is prohibiting you from going to your best friend's wedding, but you feel like you had to do it, or whatever the individual aspect might be.
Right.
Like, I think you can always take a step back and be like, I should be happy about this because of, you know, those things. Mm-hmm. But I think it's also, you could be a bit subjective and be like, yeah, but for me right now, this is my fifth Coca-Cola commercial. I'm not being pushed forward by this anymore. Mm-hmm. And what that might mean.
Right. I think it's really easy to get jaded when you're starting out, at least like the first 5 to 10 years in your career, because you don't really know any better. Like, you're constantly testing and trying as best as you can, but you don't really know how to navigate your career. And there's a lot of like thought and tact and boundaries and just a lot of experience that I think goes into not being jaded. But I feel like you kind of have to have a lot of experience in the industry first, because it hurts so bad when you become jaded, like after the fact, looking back on it. A lot of my memories are very dark about times of being jaded, and you learn from those experiences and hopefully don't go back.
What rings a bell? Like, what stands out to you when you think about that?
About being jaded?
Like, is there a specific moment or a specific project that at the time it became like super unpalatable, but you think back on it now and you're like, what was I thinking? Or are you kinder to yourself and like realize that like you understood why you were feeling that way?
Yeah, I think in my case, it was accumulation of a lot of things. Like, I wasn't listening to my own creative voice and myself, because I was in the position I was in. I had employees and other responsibilities, so I was constantly dampening my own inner voice to service other people, which in one way seemed like the right thing to do. Like, that was a really selfless thing to do, and some people would say that is certainly the right thing to do. But in my case, I wasn't actively pursuing work that was like spiritually or soulfully fulfilling for me personally. So, you know, a lot of people, it's a similar situation where if you have a family like you with, you know, two kids, and say you're starting out in your career and you're just having to do so much work just to serve the family, which makes sense. Like, you have to do that in a lot of ways. But there has to be a point where you kind of pause and figure out how to navigate it in a more creatively fulfilling way. Otherwise, in my opinion, this industry is just way too hard to just do work that's not creatively fulfilling. Like, I just don't see the point in it personally.
I also think that it is gonna actively work against the longevity of your career if you do that anyway. Like, I think that you could easily make the argument that the longevity of a career comes from that continual, not shifting, but pursuit of like your own fire and right. in the belly. Because I think that if you fall into certain traps of doing the same thing over and over again because it's easy and it makes you the money or something, that those wells will run dry too. And then you didn't prepare your career for whatever the next steps would be. And I think that you can kind of see, especially as we get older and we're going into our potentially like third decade of doing this soon, mm-hmm. Which is a wild thing, that like how many people are still actively doing it.
Right.
And who's fallen out along the way and for a litany of reasons. But I don't think that it's necessarily only like selfish or something yeah. to need to care about like the things that you need to do for yourself. I think mm-hmm. that it's also providing more like diversification to maintain like survival mode better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in that way, it's like that jaded feeling is not necessarily something to loathe or like view negatively. I think that if you're like constantly very attuned and like listening, if you notice that you're getting jaded to what is around you, like I try to investigate why,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think sometimes that it can be because of being selfish and that's, sometimes I think the right personal dialogue to have with yourself is like, listen, man, like you can't be that demanding for certain things or whatever. Yeah. But in other times you might realize that like, no, like this is actually really rooted in me being jaded because I don't want to do this exact genre anymore. Or maybe it's like, I'm not being creatively challenged anymore because these industrials has kind of, there's nothing else I can do that I'm going to be that excited by with this.
Yeah.
You know? And, when I show up to set, I'm just clearly not giving off an energy of being excited to be here because I'm not.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, the people around you might start to realize that and then that well might run dry. So it's like, I do think it's a survival emotion to have
mm-hmm.
as long as like you're honest with yourself about what exactly is at the root of it and can I do something about it? And if so, what is it? And mm-hmm. like really trying to, because, you know, I think we're taking for granted that the audience here knows your story and mine. And I mean, frankly, it being on the Variable podcast, episode one is you telling your story and episode two is me telling my story to you. funny enough. So like, yeah, you know, I think having listened to those, people kind of already know about us, but you know, I've changed my thought process and how I wanted to go through things multiple times. And I feel like, the idea of, strong opinions loosely held,
yeah,
has been kind of my way. And I've gone from being more of a documentarian to a director DP in that world to just a DP to moving into narrative. And in all of those moments, it was from a certain level of becoming jaded to the thing that I eventually pivoted away from.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned something about like knowing the roots of like why you got to the point where you're jaded. I think the people that really inspire me are the people that like, you know, the people you read about that take the time to pause when they become jaded or burned out. And, you mm-hmm. know, of course you have to be methodical when you have like overhead and expenses. And I think a reason a lot of people become super jaded is because they have a lifestyle that's too expensive for their creative spirit to grow and thrive. And mm-hmm. so that has a lot to do with it. And you're operating in this like scarcity mindset constantly of like having to take on every opportunity that comes across the table. So I think like taking on too much, that leads to that jadedness. But then of course the pausing when you are jaded, I think that is extremely difficult, because I think when you are jaded, you're operating in this like very reactive mindset of like fear, you know, fear ridden mindset of just like reacting to things so much and not really pausing and reflecting and thinking. And that's something that I love to learn about and read about and hear from other people that are doing that. But the thing is with that is like, I think it requires a tremendous amount of courage that doesn't get talked about enough to like really pump the brakes and be like, why am I in this position? How did I get here? And I think that's the people that survive and like really thrive that I'm learning about more that inspire me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that when I heard like the news of Variable as a production company closing, when from my outsider's perspective at the time, it just seemed like, what, you know, you're stopping something as it's the strongest it's ever been. Obviously, that's not true, but it certainly seemed that way. And then taking a lot of time for yourself to figure out a path forward, and only now, many years later, really coming back into your own on the cinematography front, listening to you just say what you did, like all I can think about was that journey for you.
Well, that, yeah, that's that, all that to me was inspired by like reading a lot and learning about like how the mind and the soul and, you know, how we thrive as like a species, you know? So that's like,
what do you mean?
In terms of just like work and rest and cycles and rhythm and sustaining and a lot of things in that world is what I was pretty steeped in and continue to read more about. And it just makes sense to me now, you know, it makes sense to me why in my case, like I became super jaded. Like it's clear, it's super clear, because there was no rhythm. You know, it was just like a reactive cycle and all like scarcity mindset type thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in the simplest terms, you just gave yourself an overhead that didn't allow for thinking about anything else.
Totally. But I feel that's such a common story, though. Would you agree? And let me say this too. I think this is a common story for, I should say, folks in the commercial industry, because when you start making money as like a freelancer, whether you're like an AC or a gaffer or a DP or director, like mainly more like key positions, I should say, or an editor, whatever, there can be some really good rates. And like right in the beginning, it's like you get this big opportunity, and then a year or two in, a few more, etc. And then I think that, and what happened in my case is, I started to think that's like what I was worth, you know, like, oh, I'm worth like this amount a day, like, oh, like, you know, and then you're getting like a nicer, it's that like, what do they call it? Like lifestyle creep. I think it's like you start accumulating things and accumulating stuff. And then all of a sudden, as we learn, it's like work goes in cycles, and like, you know, COVID happens and things happen and you get jaded and you need to take time off. And so I think, and what's been really inspiring to me just being in Baltimore now, in and I'm curious to hear your side, being in New York City though, is like the overhead is lower here, and yeah. I find myself being able to say no to a lot more things and not being like super stressed out about everything. But again, that's what I've needed for myself.
Yeah.
But I'm curious about you. Like, how do you manage to not get jaded living in what I consider the craziest city in the world, New York City, two kids?
But I'm from here, you know. Like, I grew up on Long Island, so I'm not from here. But then, you know, my parents moved back into the city, and once my sister and I were out of the house, and so my parents are here. My sister lives in Brooklyn as well. So we have family support, and it's very much, it's, you know, we're a New York City family, certainly in the present form. And, so it's nice. It's an advantage. I don't have to choose between being in like a major you know, media city and being near my folks. I don't know what types of conversations I would be having if I had, you know, to move to, if I was debating between being here or being in some other small town, because that's where my, you know, family assistance is. Cause you know, there's constant thought and discussion into moving to LA because my wife is also in the industry and she could do it out there too. And, you know, at this point, I think the biggest advantage that New York has over LA is the family help. So it's an easy, I don't know if, you know, and I'm just being from here, like I've known this city my whole life and it's not as, I don't know what it's like to move here when you're 22 and it's like your first time getting to know this place and you're a fish out of water. Like that's never been my experience here. So,
well, maybe I should share a little bit about that because I was 20 when I moved to New York City. And anybody that doesn't grow up in New York City or doesn't grow up in a really big city, and I think this might be valuable because I do talk to people all the time about their desires to move to like bigger film hubs like LA and New York City and stuff. And for New York, I'll say, I don't know, the same with LA, but I think it's incredibly stimulating, like very overstimulating and like very exciting. Sure. And I think that just adds to, you know, losing yourself for somebody like me. That's like a highly sensitive person. Well, that's what my therapist told me I am, at least. I still don't know exactly
as
what
your
that
friend,
means,
but... that sounds accurate.
But I think for a lot of people, it's difficult to kind of hold a firm foundation in a city like that. And I think what you said about your family being there, I mean, that is so incredibly valuable.
Yeah. And that creates a very, it's not unique to the millions of people that live here, but I get for all of the people who have moved here from elsewhere, it is, but you know, like going uptown and having Sunday, you know, afternoon and dinner at my family's place is a regular occurrence, but that means going into Manhattan, you know?
Right.
So it that's a very, it's nice, you know, and I definitely don't take it for granted, especially now with kids and retired parents who view their grandkids as a full-time job. It really makes a huge difference. I think, you know, that especially with the variable meetups and hanging out with people monthly, and a lot of the conversation is like, oh, how are you handling this? And it's like, I handle it with help. I don't really know how you handle it otherwise. I mean, you pay a lot more if you handle it otherwise. And then that becomes potentially untenable overhead.
Support is something that is so important in this topic of not avoiding, but just leaning into the support and making sure you have a good support structure.
And I'm trying to think about like what that was in the more formative, like earlier years of the career. I think it was friends and like really being able to discuss what's going on. Cause I think that there's just so much about our the industry in general, but particularly the, like, as you're coming up, commercial branded content world, that is just so many unwritten rules and there's nowhere you can really just get like a printout of how it's all supposed to go. And really, like, all you can do is confide in close friends who are doing it too about like, what was it, you know, what did you experience dealing with this and what are you asking for and what do you think is reasonable? Otherwise, it's like impossible because like there's no written rule book for this stuff. And you're certainly, even if you go to the best schools in the country, they don't cover it.
Yeah. Yeah, I will share. I think one of the things, this is therapeutic for me, Jared.
Good.
No, one of the things that, you know, this is a common trait with some like production company owners that I found, and it's very true to my story, is like, you're like, I was working largely with like a lot of my friends and I was like technically their boss in a way, you know, And
so
I found myself not having that conversation with like all of my closest collaborators, because like I didn't want to show those signs of like weakness, you know, or like, you know, I couldn't be completely honest. And I could have been, but I chose not to be completely honest for like so many years. And then that ultimately like exploded in my face, you know, when I realized like, oh my gosh, I've been like holding all of this in, and there was like all this like anger and resentment and all these ugly feelings. But yeah. I think looking back, you know, if you're a freelancer and you're like coming up and all of your friends are coming up alongside you for years, the value of that, like,
that's your wealth.
Yeah, that's everything.
That's your creative wealth. That's your career strength. And really, with film being so tribal, it is obviously the privilege that we all have and the hope that we're going to work with our closest friends. But I think then that requires you to learn how to be very good at constantly having the hard conversations, or the conversations that get you back to a place of not holding resentment with these people, because projects bring these, those feelings up. And if you can't, continually have heart to hearts with them, you know, after rap or whatever, it's a recipe for disaster.
Definitely.
So it forces you to be like better about those aspects of your life too, which is a good thing, but you can't ignore them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's one thing I've been picking up on a lot this past year, is I've been like really taking the craft more seriously and like working jobs with different directors for the first time. Is like,
what do you mean by that? Taking it more seriously. What does that mean?
Well, like, you know, so like 5+ years ago when I left the production company, I was just in this sort of like survival state of like, okay, I have to make money, but I'm like burned out and jaded, right? And so I was just doing like a few jobs a year to like scrape by, and there was no joy in it. It was just like doing it because that's all I had, you know, on top of like coaching work, which helped me and still does. But it wasn't until last year that I made a conscious choice. Like last January, I made a conscious choice to accept the fact that I love filmmaking and allow myself to find the joy in it again. But that was like, it took a lot of work to like get to that point, because I had so much like,
that's wild.
I had so much fear, man, because I saw the worst version of myself when I was making films all and like making whatever content or whatever all the time. So I was terrified to go back. And it was actually our mutual friend Sam Hodges. We were hiking in hiking up some sand dune in California. Mm-hmm. And we're like halfway up, and I was just talking to him about all these thoughts and feelings and stuff. And you know, he's a writer and he's like pretty articulate and
extremely.
Yeah, he's like, dude, you know what, man? Like, it just sounds like you just need to get back into it. Like, it was something so simple, you know, but it was like something about where we were that I just like was able to grasp it and like redirect my energy and like step through the fear into like the love of it again. And, but yeah, it's like, yeah, that was a pretty pivotal moment. I forgot what your original question was, but.
Yeah, but it snapped like a long-held jadedness, it seems like, that conversation.
Yeah, I think there is like, when you're jaded, it's like, or I should say when I was jaded, it's like this idea of like, could I ever find the joy in doing this? Like, could I ever get back there? And for years, it seemed like hopeless. Like, it just didn't seem like I could go there. But in my case, it was because I think I'd seen the worst side of myself. That was a really big part of it. And I just didn't see a world where I could turn around.
Like, but a world where you could do the same things and get a different result internally.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like enjoy it. And, yeah.
But then when you started, you had that conversation and then you started doing stuff again. Did you meet certain challenges of like seeing that person that you weren't a fan of kind of peek his head, and like you had to be like, no, no, and like push him back down? Like, what was that like? Because I'm assuming it wasn't like a perfect, I'm not jaded anymore, and like everything was great. Like, no. What was that transition back in?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that like facilitated that. I think one of the main ones was like I made a really conscious choice to like emphasize my relationships and the process over the end result, which is like, it's something
that was different from before.
Extremely different, because I was like, if I'm going to go back into this industry, I need to love it, and it needs to work for me, and I need to figure out how to make that's a lot of what like the community is about for me personally. It's like, how do you sustain the joy and love that we have for this craft that's so damn hard?
Mm-hmm.
And that's like been my underlying like curiosity. And so I've learned a lot from the people in the community and like the conversations and stuff that have contributed. And I think a lot of it really is about the relationships, and like I've proven
myself.
What
do you do differently with the relationships that you weren't doing before? If you could sum it up.
I think before I was like so wrapped up in the end result, you know, like so wrapped up in like getting the staff pick or whatever it was, like looking cool or being respected as a filmmaker or something like that. That's what it seemed a lot about to me before. And now it's like, I just want to have a great time on the shoot with the people that I'm working with. Like, I really just want to enjoy it. And I think I have enough faith in my abilities at this point, like enough confidence where I know I'm good enough. Like I know I'm not the best, but like that doesn't matter. But it's like I have confidence in myself and like my work ethic and my base level skill set to know that like I can rise to the challenge. And I think that has just come through experience, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's kind of interesting. It's like because also it's something about the angst of our youth is a little gone.
Yes.
And I think that's good. Like, that's a good thing. Now, if you're someone listening and you're in the throes of that because you're, you know, only a couple of years in, then, you know, there's
just part of it, probably.
It's a part of it. It's a part of it. But this reminds me of a conversation that I had actually with someone at Masters in Motion this year, the last one. And he was at like one of the first ones, or he was at the first one. And he was talking about, he's like, man, like the first one, there was such a vibe of kind of like what you were describing things used to be for you. And like, but 10 years on, and really 13 in calendar years, that he's like, you know, all of the staff, like all of you guys just feel so sure of yourselves and calm, and therefore also just like so inclusive, because it's not, you're not trying to prove your worthiness to anyone in the room.
Right.
Because you're beyond needing to do that.
Yes.
And it's like the freedom that comes from that.
Yeah.
And the reality that really only starts to happen once you start achieving a little bit. Not, you know, we all have huge goals that we haven't reached yet. But like, you know, you at least don't feel aspiring anymore. You feel like you're a cinematographer. You want to keep growing, and there's a lot more to do, but you're you know, you've done a couple things, and there's a certain level of self-assuredness that you finally have. And, you know, there's no shortcut to that, I don't think.
The word that comes to my mind are the ideas, like this idea of like being humbled. And I think like after industry that many years, it's like, man, there's so many so many times where I just like wish I didn't say something that I said or didn't, you know, whatever it is, where you're just like, okay, just like trying to be more humble about it, I think. There's so much that can go wrong. You know, there's like so many things that are outside of our control too that can just like serve you. And if you go into a shoot like overly confident or anything like too overly confident or proud, it's like, I feel like those are the times in my experience where I'm just like served.
Yeah, and it's also that so much of it isn't up to us.
Yeah.
Like, including, I was having a conversation last night with a really great AC, and he, you know, he's on, does massive projects, and we were just talking about, like, the reality, especially from our specific roles of working in the vision, the visuals of it, that, like, you know, plenty of movies that are considered good and great might not have great cinematography.
Right.
But yeah, you can have plenty of movies that had great cinematography that are not good. And that's a humbling thing to realize. And it, you know, I think plenty of us have had things, especially earlier in our career, that might have looked great, but didn't have as much success as you were hoping for, or maybe that even matched necessarily the images, because the overall product isn't good. And maybe that's your fault because you spent too much time worrying about the wrong things. Or maybe that's a moment where you also just realize that, like, it's certain elements are just beyond your control.
Yep.
And, like, how you have to come to terms with that, how you need to, like, lean into what that means for how you approach projects, the day-to-day nature of it, whatever. All of that comes to your understanding eventually.
Mm-hmm. I think the other thing that's coming to mind too is, you know, when you were asking me about, like, that experience with Sam on the sand dune or whatever, is like something occurred to me, like what I was saying before about, like, the industry is so much more than the work. It's so much about the relationships and the people and, like, genuinely enjoying that process and thinking of it different than networking. Like, I don't see it like networking at this point so much.
Yeah, no.
And I started to realize in this past year, I've had like a few pretty big epiphanies, not the right word, but it's like something that I've learned about and read about a lot and have just started being very aware of is this idea that once you reach a certain degree of skill, your personality and who you are starts to rise to the top and almost be more important than the skill. It's
at that level, the skill set to do the thing in a technical way is the prerequisite for being in the room at all.
Yes. Yes. Because I've just found myself, like, with my portfolio, and I'm not, like, you know, my work is fine. You know, it's not like I'm not, like, shooting big movies or TV shows or anything like that. But just this past year, I found myself in the room and in several calls and several things where I'm like, I know why I'm here. You know, like, I'm not here because of just my portfolio, which is always what it seemed like in my 20s. It seemed like I was getting opportunities because you're getting asked to bid on things and this and that based on the reel. But it's like, I'm in this room because this person just likes me. You know, they like what I'm mm-hmm. about.
Mm-hmm.
That's been, like, so refreshing and made filmmaking so much more about, like, character and self-work and being authentic and not being a bullshitter. And, mm-hmm. like, I'm just loving this new kind of, like, awareness that I'm leaning into. And I don't know. So far, it's been, like, great. So.
Is that also because of for the most part, a genre change?
Genre as far as?
More into documentary and or now narrative?
I think that's a part, like, of it. Yeah.
Strictly commercial? Not to even harp on the commercial industry, but more that, like, it is a more it is more like a technically driven medium where, like, you might be getting hired strictly for your portfolio more so than the other ones based on, like, you know, like, your, obviously none of this is black and white, but, like, your ability to distill emotion into an image, I think, might matter more and be a leading factor more in another genre mm-hmm. versus, like, your ability to make that slick car commercial look slick.
Right.
You know, now, obviously, I think that, like I said, it's not black and white, and the best ones are probably have both. But I don't think that it's necessarily a coincidence that you're like, you're leaning really into these like beautiful documentary stories that you're telling. It sounds like the narrative that you just shot was like firmly rooted in the type of human driven thinking and emoting that like you are focusing on. And none of that seems coincidental.
It is interesting though, to your point, to like decipher the difference between like the commercial crowd and like the narrative and documentary crowd. Cause you're right. It is like new territory. I've realized this last year. Like I have a lot of friends that are work a lot in commercials, but when it comes to the types of like creative collaborators and artists that I'm learning that I resonate with and I feel a part of that tribe, like they, most of them tend to be more into like the documentary and like narrative space. And yeah. I think that is because one thing that led me to being jaded is there's so much manipulation in advertising. I can't always be like completely...
Like with the product, like the literal thing you're shooting?
Yeah, with the product, and also sometimes just like, you know, showing up for the job with like the best attitude all the time when you might not necessarily like believe in what it is. And there is a culture of just BSing that I find in advertising personally. And that is a hard space to be in. I can do it as a cinematographer really well, I think. But like in the narrative space and in like the doc space, like I don't ever feel like I'm bullshitting. Like I feel like I'm showing up completely myself, and that feels really, really good.
Yeah. I mean, I think that inherently within the commercial genre, you're making something for a client, and it's at like certain projects can be more emotionally connected than others, but for the most part, at the end of the day, it is still for that. And it's like by design, there's just a little less humanity in it. I mean, the best projects, the ones that win the awards in that space, the ones that turn our heads, do have that. And I think that they are noted for being the best because they manage to figure out that thing. And then they get awarded because it is rare.
Right.
Whereas I think it's kind of common, and the general way that documentaries are made is because of how much the people involved care about the subject matter. And then for the narrative stuff, you know, there's obviously so much about the human condition that's probably being explored in one way or another.
Yes.
It's just more inherently intertwined with that product, whether it be a film or, you know, a series or something.
I also think a lot of this comes down to, you know, I'm approaching this from like a cinematographer's perspective, and I have directed a lot of commercials too, but I think a lot of my perspective on it right now comes down to the director's mindset and relationship to the commercial. Because I think a lot of times, like, the directors are actually a little bit jaded. Not all of them, like not all commercial directors, but there is often this sense of, like we were talking about before, like this idea or this shot's dumb or this is dumb or I don't know, this creative director's like, I don't like this, like always blaming something on like the agency or the client. And for me, like as a DP, I actually don't prefer to work with directors like that. Like I prefer to work with directors who on commercials who just don't take it personally and just completely see it for what it is and do their absolute best. But it's not like you're complaining the whole time and making all these little like judgments and negative remarks. Like that is toxic. And I think a lot of that's a
form of jaded.
Yes, really. That is jaded. That is jaded.
Right.
That's how I experience jaded now as a cinematographer. When I see directors or like production designers or whatever, that always kind of just making these negative complaining remarks. And it's like, from my perspective, it's like, man, I mean, I don't know. I just try and make the most of the commercials that I have now because that shit pays really well. And like, I'm really grateful yes, for those opportunities.
Yeah. It becomes, you just got to keep doing it with the right people. But that's not revelatory, and it's also not specific to any of the genres, but I think it does highlight just knowing who you actually work with. Because I think going back to like figuring out like the difference between early career and mid-career, which is where I reckon we are, is like knowing who you work well with.
Yeah.
And knowing and feeling more confident in yourself, so that like I think earlier on, if I wasn't getting totally on with somebody and if they were behaving in ways that I didn't necessarily like, a part of me would question like maybe I'm wrong and I need to figure out how to how do I get on board with the way that they're doing this. And I think over time your bullshit detector or whatever it might be, you just become a little bit more, I know what I need to excel. I know the type of environment I want to be in, and I know the type of people, behavior, and attitudes I want to surround myself with. And you don't continually subject yourself to things that don't fall in line with all of that.
Right.
Whereas earlier on, I think you do. And I think earlier on, you might have to.
Yeah.
To a degree.
Yeah. It is definitely a really hard industry. Cause like, I don't want to come across like I'm like condoning, I guess there's a difference between being jaded and complaining too. In terms. Right?
Yeah, probably, but they're very close. Like one is because of the other. Like you're complaining because you're jaded probably.
But I will say like, if you're on a job that's like really exhausting, you're just really tired, and it that's where like your character really gets tested, I think, you know, in those moments. But
absolutely. You that's when you find out, you know, when everything's peachy, that's not really the judge of, you know, being in the trenches with a person and knowing how it's going to go. You know, it's like, because especially like the more that you're in it, the industry, I mean, and you start to have the people that you continually call to be a part of your crew, it's because you know that when things go south, that like they're not going to be making it harder because they're mm-hmm. there. They're going to be making it better because they're there.
Yeah, the more we have this conversation, I think that jaded, from me, my perspective, just comes as a result of just taking on too much stuff. And it doesn't even have to just be film work. It could be anything in life, taking on, going out to too many things, doing too many things, overcommitting yourself, doing too many jobs, whatever. And you just don't pause, you know, you don't stop and really take a toll or like an inventory. Mm. That's for me, but I'm curious for you, like, is anything synthesizing as a result of this? Like the key ingredient that leads to jadedness?
I think that it continues to be for me, just if I don't, once I stop seeing the point. I think that like anytime I say yes to doing something, and it's been this way since leaving college, I knew why mm-hmm. I was saying yes. And sometimes it's strictly because the rate was good. Sometimes it's strictly because it's an opportunity to work with someone that I hope to build a longer relationship with. Sometimes it's because I think that this one might look really good. And sometimes it's a mixture. But like, it's so much a part of like my backbone that I would be surprised if it's different for someone else, but I'm sure it can be. But like, I always know the exact reasons why I said yes to something. And I think that I become jaded if that thing turns out to not be true, or if for reasons for no fault of my own aren't going to, like, that's not going to turn out, or like it's not actually feeding the thing that I thought it was feeding, I think that I then become, then it's like, well, then why am I here? What mm-hmm. am I doing? And then mm-hmm. and then that really kicks up jaded emotions internally. Like I try so hard to not get to a place where I check out. I think that's a really disastrous place to be, especially in a leadership position on set. But that's the danger mm-hmm. of if you get to a place where that ends up happening, and you're looking around and you have no clue why you're investing your time and energy into something,
mm-hmm.
then I become jaded to it.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Because like I could be tired, I could be overworked, I could have said yes to too many things, and that might make me upset or stressed out or give me anxiety. But that's not being, for me, that's not being jaded. Mm-hmm. That is a litany of other things that could all be problematic and like make me lose sleep. But I associate jaded very much with like losing the, it's a lack of care. It's a lack of, you know, it's when the flame dies, but yet you're still somehow strapped to this thing that you can't just walk away from for whatever reason. That's when it becomes bad, because because jadedness can if you don't figure out how to handle it and contain it, can have really bad knock-on effects for, you know, your reputation and like how you're treating those around you because you've become jaded to this thing. It's probably the thing that I try and spot as early as I can and try and make adjustments so that it goes away and doesn't fester. It's like one of the worst things that I think you can be, especially in a work environment in the middle of a project. Like that's when it's like, you better figure it out, because it can cause huge issues on mm-hmm. the day and also afterwards, reputationally.
Yeah, I agree. One thing I've been noticing a lot this past year is just how much of a difference a crew member makes that is coming to their job with this sort of spirit of gratitude, this spirit of really wanting to be there and just appreciating the opportunity. It's amazing how inspiring like one person can be on a set that comes in with that attitude.
Definitely. I love the excitement. I would say that like I get nervous talking about it in certain ways because I don't like when someone feels like I can't like stand up for myself because I need to be grateful that I'm here. You know, and I know that's not what you mean.
Yeah.
But it's really, I view it more like the excitement. Like when you can just tangibly see how much they love the job generally, then the job that we're on together in the moment. And that like they're nerds for it. Cause we are, you know.
Yes.
And like that's the thing. And when everyone wants to go the extra mile because they understand how cool this shot can be or whatever it might be. That's the best stuff. Because I mean, film is just so collaborative as an art form. You can't really achieve the highest heights both in the final product and also I think emotionally in the workplace. Mm-hmm. Alone.
Mm-hmm.
Like my favorite experiences on set are not something that I did singularly that I enjoyed. It was like, because we all did it together.
Yeah.
It's the, cause it has to be done together.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. I think, I don't know. I've had so many different observations this year about, trying not to get jaded again. And the one thing that had stuck out to me the most really was like, again, like gratitude, like cultivating gratitude to do what we get to do and not taking it for granted. And I think that actually is one of the biggest factors from my experience that leads to jadedness, is taking what we do for granted. And the opportunities.
Did you feel like you were doing that? Like, I don't know. Cause like for me, like every time I'm on set, there's a moment where I'm just like, man, I fucking love this shit. You know? Were you finding that emotion wasn't coming through?
Not deeply by any means. I'm not even sure I really knew what it meant or like felt like to deeply appreciate something at the time. In my case, it's like,
well, that's interesting.
I had to sort of lose everything that I loved to learn how to appreciate it again. And that's because in my story, it's like, in a lot of people's stories, you know, you like work so hard and then like things take off and then you're just going, you know, it's like there's not much time for like
pause. It's funny. I was going to say, I think that maybe a part of it too is that you hit success early and that potentially there wasn't a lot of time of like kind of meandering through.
Yeah.
And at the time, that's great. It's what everybody wants. But it also never provided you maybe enough moments of humble pie or something. I don't know. Does that track? Like early on? Because you kind of hit the ground running.
Yeah. It's weird. It's like, yeah, there was an appreciation, you know, like an awareness, I think. But it was more like, I should be grateful. I remember that, feeling that at like a few points, being like, I feel like I should be grateful for all this stuff. But like, I wasn't feeling it like on a soul level.
Trying to convince yourself.
Yeah, because you know, you have like, one of the notes I'd put in this note for this conversation was just like, people blowing smoke up your butt, you know? Like, so you can be doing like whatever you're doing, it's like filmmaking is really cool. And, you know, family members most times think it's really cool. And like friends think it's cool. And then if you're doing good work, other people are giving you likes and saying that your stuff is cool. And, you know, I think that contributes to kind of this like jadedness.
Especially when you're younger.
Yeah. For sure. And you think that that's like the only thing in the world that matters.
I mean, when you're 23, that is like extreme currency.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I don't know. I think that again, I'll like keep going back to gratitude and like appreciation as like a practice, as like a really what's keeping me going right now. Mm-hmm. And just the people, you know, that we get to meet and the people that we get to work with. It's so unique.
Yeah, I love the circus aspect.
Yeah.
You know?
It is, yeah.
And like just chatting with new crew that you kind of meet on every set, and the fact that none of us have worked together before, but yet we all know exactly what to expect out of one another.
Yes.
That is always amazed me, and it still does. I haven't lost that wonder, you know.
Well, you're fortunate, man.
I hearing you say that, I mean, I guess I hope that a lot of people feel that way too, because it's just cool, you know.
Yeah,
like it's just fun. Obviously there are so many moments that are difficult and challenging, and I think especially if a production is taking advantage of your crew and you're in a leadership position and you got to like figure out how to navigate that and how to solve that, and there's a lot of things that make this hard.
Yeah.
But like ultimately you're on set enough when it's going well that we've decided to continue doing this with our lives. And yeah, you know, you're on set and you're just like, man, this is the part I really enjoy.
But you also strike me as like one of the more positive filmmakers that I know in terms of like
really?
attitude. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I wonder in your case, it's like, but I don't, do you see yourself that way?
No.
Really?
Well, I guess I should say that when you point it out, I guess I can understand, but it's also like, what I know is my truth, right? And my truth is fighting tooth and nail to get back on set, you know, and the highs and lows of a career, and how difficult it is to continually get back onto really interesting projects. And so, like, I think that for me, I think that you have a much more proactive mental approach to your own self-assessment in certain ways about, like, you think about gratitude. And it's a bit more subconscious for me, but I think that, like, when I'm on set, that's, being on set represents, like, achieving the goal of getting another crack at it and, like, getting back into the ring. Right. And I think, especially being a DP and being, or like a department head versus general crew that get on set more often because they can go from project to project in a way that, like, it's a bit more challenging for us to do that. That's not, you know, we bid on jobs. It's a whole different thing. That I think that a lot of that appreciation or happiness is because, like, the difficult times for me are offset,
right?
Not on. When I'm on, in that moment, like, I'm very much enjoying the fact that I'm there because of how often we're not.
Right. That makes sense.
But yeah, you know, I definitely try and bring that spirit to a set and to people around me on it. But I think it's because, you know, the visuals are only like really a third of our job as a cinematographer. Yeah. You know, management is one and leadership is another. And I also really enjoy those responsibilities of our role.
Yeah.
I really enjoy leadership, not just in the execution of a certain shot, but also leadership in terms of making sure that the morale on the crew is high. And like the morale on the crew is going to be high because my morale is high.
Yes.
And if I see someone having a rough go, pulling them aside or whatever, like those moments of poking and prodding to make sure that everybody is feeling seen, heard, appreciated. You know, there's that Rodrigo Prieto GQ article from a couple months ago where he was like, I have to fall in love with my collaborators on every project. Mm. I was just like, yeah, man, I that resonates so hard. Now, obviously, you know, not to be hyperbolic or something, but it doesn't work at its best, and you're not like going to be doing the most important stuff if you don't have that level of camaraderie,
right?
You know, and so in a leadership position, I really enjoy that. Like, a part of getting to that place is like on me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel the same way. So how do we wrap this up, Jared? I don't know. We didn't talk about how long we wanted these to be or anything, but
yeah, I don't know. I think until we run out of juice, I think we've probably reached the end. You know, about an hour feels right. And then sometimes it might be shorter.
All right. And I'll wrap it up there for episode 16 with cinematographer Jared Levy. These discussions between Jared and I will be part of an ongoing series on this podcast where Jared and I will just pick a topic and just plunge in and sort of see what comes out. If anything that we had discussed in this podcast is of interest to you, consider joining the Variable community, which you can check out at wearevariable.com or members at wearevariable.com, because we have conversations like these on a weekly basis with a big group of filmmakers. I think there's about more than 500 of us in there now, and weekly, we're just having really great conversations with a really great group of people. And yeah, come hang out. And otherwise, tune in next month for episode 17, which I'm not sure exactly what that episode's going to be. It might be another conversation with Jared, or it might be with a guest, or it might be something completely different. But regardless, thank you for stopping by, and we'll connect with you soon. Bye.